Going Dark, a Slings and Arrows fanfiction story, written by Killer Queen and Ruby Powell, and read by Lutzula. Lester Pearson. Swift caribou? No, that won't do. A loon? Ha, won't fly in Saskatoon. A noble beaver on a rocky crag. That's it. Chorus of legislative aides. What, Mike? Lester Pearson. A vision of our flag. From Diefenbaker, a Canadian musical by Darren Nichols and Richard Smith Jones. Rehearsal notes. 4th of February 2007. Inform Richard that the stage is not in fact built to hold a chorus of 30 Mounties on horseback. Try not to think about why he's wearing that horrible scarf. Jesus, that's Darren's scarf. Are they sleeping together? Convince Darren that the new fire safety regulations mean no more fucking pyrotechnics ever. Forge fire marshal letterhead? Ask Anna. No, scratch that out. Personally destroy all pyrotechnic capabilities after hours tonight. Ask Richard what he means by custom-built fog machine. Ask re-budget. Rehearsal notes. 10th of February, 2007. Inform them once again, re-mounties on stage. Nope, fog machines can't do that. Ask re-lighting sound cues for finale. For example, according to script, final number begins with Diefenbaker alone downstage center, lit by a spotlight while he sings, "Once your Dief, once your Chief, but no more," until the angel of history is flown in over the audience, then blackout as they embrace. But Richard keeps referring to the finale as Springtime for Canada, which is not in the script, and seems to think it contains both a kick line and a rotating stage, which is not in the budget. Clarify. Also, ask Darren what he means when he notes in the script that the lighting cues for the finale should be immediately obvious to anyone possessing the slightest familiarity with the philosophical writings of Walter Benjamin. To do. 10th of February, 2007. Get quote for cost of stage reinforcement for the fucking Mounties. Ask Anna if... No, scratch that. Include cost of hiring stagehand. I am not shoveling horseshit again, so help me God. Never ever let Richard and Darren into the lighting booth alone together. Disinfect entire lighting booth. Buy more bourbon. Forget everything you may or may not have glimpsed in the lighting booth this afternoon. Rehearsal notes. 7th of February, 2007. Costuming note. If this is winter in Ottawa, why is Olive Diefenbaker wearing a fur-trimmed bikini? Clarify. The RCMP does not actually lend out Mounties for stage productions. You need to hire actors to play the Mounties. They also don't just lend out their uniforms. Not even for a patriotic musical experience. Explain to Richard that, no, scratch that. Explain again that, scratch that. Bludgeon Richard with spare wrench. No, cross that out. Provide tech budget for Richard's letter to Minister of Culture asking her to loan out some Mounties. Rehearsal notes. 21st of February 2007. Someone should talk to Darren about the duel. Duels, plural. First of all, we don't have the budget for cannons. And while it's not my job to comment on historical accuracy, Pearson and Diefenbaker definitely did not settle the flag debate with a duel, and I don't personally buy the explanation that dueling is simply a metaphor for manly struggle in politics as in life. Also, why did they give that monologue to the ghost of Wilfrid Laurier, and why is he on roller skates? Don't actually ask. Just clarify union regulations, liability and roller skates on stage. Try to never again think of the phrase manly struggle especially in relation to Darren Nichols and or Richard Smith Jones. Try especially to forget that you overheard Richard and Darren giggling and repeating said phrase in a locked dressing room. Replenish bourbon supply. Rehearsal notes. 25th of February, 2007. Schedule extra rehearsals for cast to learn new finale, which is apparently now springtime in Canada. Inform Richard that rotating stage is still not in the budget. Find or cut a maple leaf gobo. Clarify how fog machines actually work. I'm increasingly convinced that Richard is very confused on this. No, you cannot lower a horse and its rider onto the stage on the pulley system. This is not happening. Okay, let's give them 5 minutes and list some calming things. Swans. Properly coiled sound cables. The bourbon supply you keep in the lighting booth. Gaff tape in bulk. Competent electricians. Your lucky wrench. Hockey. The ever-present possibility that certain men might be strangled by their own scarves and or ties. The increasing possibility that they might strangle each other. 25th of February, 2:30 p.m. Note that rehearsal ended early, when Darren ordered Richard to leave the theater and take the fucking kick line with him. Ask if this means we're back to the original finale. But wait a few days before asking. Current plan? Take Frank and Cyril up on their offer to get me drunk anywhere that's not the theater bar, anytime you need it, dear. In fact, avoid theater bar for rest of season. Have seen Richard sobbing on pool table enough for one lifetime. Rehearsal notes. 26th of February, 2007. Tell Richard that Darren cannot continue to work under these circumstances and simply cannot tolerate. Maria, I want to see every single word I'm saying transcribed right there in your notes. Is that clear? Good. Darren cannot tolerate this disrespect for the integrity of his artistic vision and will not have Richard in the theater until he hears an apology for this outrageous slander of this production and for his concerted efforts to undermine my authority with the cast. Exclamation point. Tell Richard that Darren is trying to portray the depth, complexity, and inner conflict of a great Canadian, not simply parade the man on stage like those tarted-up Mounties that Richard seems to find so personally, underscore that, compelling. Tell Richard that Darren is wounded, deeply wounded by his implication that the choreography of the horse's entrance from stage left is not theatrically significant. Tell Richard that Darren needs his scarf back. Tell Darren that Richard apologizes for his overexcitement about the kick line, and also in the kick line, and that he hopes Adam didn't hurt himself too badly in the fall. Tell Darren that Richard is so sorry for everything, it was a sex thing. Note to self, hire intern to transcribe messages in case of future artistic disputes. Replenish bourbon supply. Tell Darren that Richard was high at the time, and also very hungry, because Anna always used to be in charge of snacks in the office, and now she's gone. Ask Darren if he knows where the snacks are. Tell Darren that Richard would like to meet him in the costume shop after rehearsal tonight. Launder all costumes tomorrow, especially Mountie uniforms. March 4, 2007, at 2:34 a.m. from Maria, stage manager at newburbage.ca, to Anna Conroy, anna.conroy@gmail.com. Hi Anna, hope everything's okay with you. I'm not even sure what you're up to. You back from Bolivia? I know things ended up a little awkward between us, and then there was all the fallout from Lear. I just had a little favor to ask, you know, if you happen to have a minute. So, you know when Richard gets one of his ideas, and you try to tell him that there isn't the budget, or that it's physically impossible, or that it's too likely to maim the audience, and he just doesn't listen? Did you ever figure out a way to deal with that? I don't mean to drag you back into all this new Burbage business, but I just thought, you know, maybe you'd have some advice. Thanks. Maria. March 4 at 6:47 a.m. From Anna to Maria. Hi, Maria. Oh, it's so good to hear from you. And yes, I'm back in Toronto, doing some grant writing for a little project or two, that kind of thing. As for Richard, oh dear, that bad, eh? Well, I usually try to emphasize what the funders and corporate sponsors expected, but I hear the festival's putting on a new musical, and when it comes to musicals, well, I really don't know if anything can get through to him. At least Darren would never let him get too close to the artistic side of the musical, so maybe you can play them off each other. That's what I always try to do. Find their deepest insecurities and drive your wedge right in. You should be able to turn them against each other easily enough. Hope that helps. Best, Anna. March 5 at 10:16 p.m. From Maria to Anna. No luck. They're co-authoring. March 6 at 6:42 a.m. From Anna to Maria. Hi, Maria. Oh, God. Anna. March 6 at 11:27 p.m. From Maria to Anna. It's called Diefenbaker, a Canadian musical. They insist on the exclamation point. March 7 at 6:42 a.m. From Anna to Maria. Hi, Maria. Oh, God. So it's true? They are sleeping together? I mean, that's what I heard. You know, it's a small world, and I didn't believe it at first, but honestly, it all makes sense. And it's horses, isn't it? I mean, in the production. I always had a few questions about Darren, you know? Anna. March 8 at 1:05 a.m. From Maria to Anna. 30 Mounties on stage on horseback. A horse lowered from the ceiling on a reinforced pulley system. Fog machines producing clouds of red and white fog shaped like maple leaves. A fur-trimmed bikini. 3 duels. One of the numbers is called Saskatchewana, You Betchewana, Vote Progressive Conservative. They keep trying to sneak into the lighting booth together after hours, with Darren wearing one of the Mountie costumes. March 8 at 6:48 a.m. From Anna to Maria. Hi, Maria. But fog machines can't do that, can they? Anna. March 8 at 7:02 a.m. From Anna to Maria. Hi, Maria. I mean, I didn't mean to discount the rest of it. That all sounds perfectly horrendous. But that fog machine thing was just going to drive me crazy until I asked. Anna. P.S. Do you have a free night to come to Toronto? I think I need to buy you a drink. March 8 at 4:36 p.m. From Maria to Anna. Shit, I wish I could, but the horses are arriving tomorrow, and we have to turn the parking lot into a stable somehow, and I'm fairly sure Richard hasn't bothered with any of the permits or anything. Oh, fuck that. I am a competent professional, and I am not shoveling shit for Richard Smith Jones ever again. I'll drive over tonight. Maria. March 8 at 5:48 p.m. From Anna to Maria. Hi, Maria. Oh, good for you. You know, that's pretty much what I used to tell myself every morning when I worked at New Burbage. Like one of those affirmation things they always tell you to repeat into the mirror. Well, in my case, the shit-shoveling was mostly metaphorical, but, you know. See you soon. Best, Anna. March 8 at 6:03 p.m. From Maria to Anna. Mostly metaphorical? March 9 at 2:14 a.m. From Maria to Richard Smith Jones. Dear Big Dick, I hope I'm not interrupting anything in the lightning booth or Claire's dressing room or anywhere else, but I am done with your horseshit, literal and metaphorical, done. From now on, you can tell someone else to build you a fog machine or beg the government for spare Mounties or listen to you sing. Jesus, do you ever stop singing? I'm in Toronto with Anna, drinking, and I'm going to work for her now because she's starting her own company, and you can go fuck yourself or whoever else you want because it's not my lighting booth anymore, you jackass. And one more thing. How does a sleazy, sniveling, rat-faced little middle manager dropped into a festival in a forgotten spot in the ass end of Ontario decide to write a musical? The worst musical I have ever seen, might I add, and I was once a stagehand in a community theater production of Starlight Express. Don't answer that, whatever. Anna's buying me another drink, because I sure as hell need it after years of your bullshit. And you can tell Darren to go fuck himself, too. I quit. Fuck off, Maria. March 9, at 2:57 a.m. From Maria to Richard Smith Jones. Dear Richard, I realize that my previous email was rather unprofessional, and I regret that. However, my resignation stands. Best of luck with previews. Maria. This has been a reading of Going Dark by Killer Queen and Ruby Powell. Thank you for listening.